so. Judging
by that.
Jin.
I also love blue waters with no ice. If that's possible.
Two waters, no ice.
Moist.
Welcome to Deep Dive, a podcast about dive bars. I'm your host, Christina Lundin. Join me each week for a candid conversation with the owner, manager, bartender, and regulars at Chicago's most iconic pubs and taverns. So belly up to the bar, grab your favorite drink, and let's dive in. It's another episode of Deep Dive. Thanks for tuning in. It's Christina. I am excited to bring you episode 6 featuring Innertown Pub. And Innertown Pub is located in Ukrainian Village, West Town, depending who you ask. I don't know. It's on the west side. But it's just a block south of Division, so a lot of restaurants over on Division. But it still feels kind of like a hidden gem, like a neighborhood corner bar. So I'd been to Innertown Pub once before, a long time ago, when I was just a young 20-something-year-old. I think I was on a bar crawl, because that's what we did when we were young. But I didn't really appreciate bars like I do now, so this kind of felt like the first time, to be honest. But like Reed's Local, Innertown Pub is all about supporting our local artist community. And they even have a second Instagram that's dedicated to keeping you updated on their arts programming. So there's a lot going on relating to the arts. So they have art shows, poetry readings, comedy shows, jazz nights. And if you ever want to plan an event with Innertown Pub, you can reach out to them directly and try to do something there. But the bar itself, the atmosphere, it feels very cozy and homey and moody. The lights are pretty dim, but there's enough light to read a book if you want. Although, expect to get questions from customers just wondering what you're reading, because this is an intellectual bar. I don't know if I would read there because I like to read trash. The decor of the bar I really, really like. It's eclectic. They have stained glass. I think I read somewhere that there's a lot of Elvis-themed art. I think I saw one sign that said Elvis Street or something like that. But I didn't talk about that with Brandon. That's all right. We couldn't cover everything. There's a lot of paintings and portraits. They have instruments on the walls. I saw an accordion on a bookshelf. And they also have original works from legendary pinball artist Dave Christensen, a.k.a. Mad Dog. May he rest in peace. He designed the sign outside the bar and also the design that is printed on the bar's T-shirts, which is pretty cool. And Brandon is the lead bartender, bar manager. He's been there for a while, so he knows a lot about the bar's history, what's changed, and he's got a lot of fun stories to share. I also learned the recipe of his famous espresso martini. Cocktails are something that you should definitely try at Innertown Pub. They have a great beer list, of course, but they've got some inventive, delicious cocktails for $13 a piece. So you don't have to go to a trendy bar to get a good cocktail. You can just go to Innertown Pub and get a great, one of the classics or one of their own inventions. But that's really going to do it for me for the intro. Let's get into the interview and I'll talk to you later.
We're here at Innertown Pub
And I am sitting across the bar from bartender and bar manager, right? Brandon. Hey, Brandon. Thanks for having me. So I got here at 5. It must have been a little after 5. It is now 5:33, and we've got 3 parties in here. Is this a typical Wednesday night at Innertown Pub?
We're getting an early start today, apparently. Usually I'm sitting by myself doing manager stuff for the first hour or so, but, we got a party. Let's do it.
Well, the bar looks nice. I walked in on Brandon doing some mopping, taking care of the bar. I guess let's start by, what is Innertown Pub? When did it start, and why is it the best? No.
It is the best. So the original owner, and by original I mean this current Innertown Pub, bought it in 1982. I've actually met, it was been a bar forever. I've met the family that owned it and ran it prior to that. It was actually one day where this 90-year-old lady that used to run the bar in like the 50s is behind the bar on a Saturday night throwing Jameson at everybody as sort of like a, last hurrah, my old place kind of thing. But Mike bought it in 82, and I think it was about 84 that he decided to like rebrand and make it his own, and like built the place out to look the way he wants it. Renamed it and started just building a place with artists and musicians, and open mics and art showing and all sorts of stuff like that. Really came to that crowd back in the 80s and 90s. And that's kind of what made the place what it is. It's why we have Home of the Arts outside. So everybody who works here is an artist or a musician or someone related. We got our art shows over there. Just sort of like the kind of crowd that we like.
I did some walking around before this, and a lot of cool, kind of unique, eccentric, dare I say, artwork. Do you have a favorite piece of art?
Of course, everybody has.
Yeah.
It's the same piece.
Yeah.
Piece right there.
Okay,
it's
I'm looking
on our T-shirts.
What is that picture? I see a naked lady in a crescent moon.
You can
visit and see for yourself.
Chest of our T-shirts that we sell.
You mentioned Mike. Is he the current owner?
No, he passed away towards the end of 2016, like October 2016. And we were incredibly lucky that his nephew took it over. Because anybody else, I feel like, probably would have just sold the place and just taken their money because who cares. But his nephew actually cared about the place. He was around. And so he wants to preserve the place itself, the legacy that it has, the community that we built. So it's not like, it's not really about money, it's about what Mike has spent his entire life creating and kind of keeping that going.
And now the new owner is Dennis, who I was communicating with. How often is Dennis here at the bar?
He used to come by like every couple of months, but life gets in the way. He's got family stuff,
sure,
and all sorts of stuff he's doing, so we don't see each other as often as we'd like right now.
It sounds like you're the eyes and ears of the bar. How often are you here?
They don't let me leave. They keep me in a box in the basement.
Yeah.
And they don't let me leave.
But you love it though, right? I like the name Innertown. It's very straightforward. This is in a central area. We're in Ukrainian Village, by the way, which is a very cool neighborhood. Lots of options here in terms of restaurants and bars. What do you think sets Innertown Pub apart?
I think what makes this place what it is the community that we built. Show yourself the sign in the way. It says, be nice or leave. We just want everybody being nice to each other, so make sure to have a good time. If you're not nice, leave, because somebody else is not having a good time if you're not being nice. And we come in here, we make connections, we make friends, and we kind of like the world with them. And I think that's what makes this place special. It's welcoming, it's accommodating, everybody's, everybody's welcome here. And we all try to respect each other. We're like, it's a group.
I love that. Let's chat about all the drink offerings here. Tonight I have opted for a NA lager from Visitor, which I'm enjoying. What are you drinking?
Coffee.
What's your favorite coffee brewer.
I, like a lot of people, have been duped by Starbucks into liking the flavor of fruit. So I get the darkest roast like them, and right now I'm drinking a lot of Pete's.
Pete's?
The dark roast from them.
Oh, that's good. Okay.
But every once in a while, like, somebody shows up with, like, I'm a roaster, check this out. So I've got a secret stash in my freezer.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, you know, local stuff that's always fun to dip into.
We have a couple out-of-town visitors sitting next to us, and we were talking about Malort. What were you describing to them? I heard the word grapefruit.
So this is the menu, right?
Yeah.
What's at the bottom of the menu?
What does it say?
It says
it's on fire. So,
that's a different thing.
Okay.
So it started off as punishment. Because we get, say it's a busy Friday. I'm trying to take care of a lot of people. Want to do that efficiently, want to give everybody my attention. And every once in a while, somebody's going to walk up, snap at my face, and then go, let me get a... And they turn around to their friends to find out what they want. I'm like, you don't need a load of money. You're just wasting everybody's time. So I put it on the menu. I'm like, here you go, $5.
That's yours. You'll get
I'm not completely evil. So, of course it's the work. But I put grapefruit bitters in it. It really pairs nicely with that kind of bitterness.
Mm-hmm.
And it winds up just tasting like you're doing a shot of grapefruit.
Okay.
Until it catches up with you later, as Malort is supposed to be.
Uh-huh. I'll have to try that eventually.
It's actually pretty good. And if you order it on purpose, it's only $3.
This is how the bar is still alive. No. Tell me a little bit about how you curate your drink beer list. How often does it change? Do you have some go-to brewers?
So the cocktail list, we do everything in-house. I make all the cordials and all that stuff myself. We had a bartender years ago who was big into tiki scene, and she was just doing fantastic work. And when she moved, I was like, somebody's got to fill that space. So I stepped up and put a cocktail beer and all that stuff. And my plan was to have a seasonally rotating cocktail list, and just try new things. I did that for a number of years. I got real excited about new stuff. I was trying new stuff. But then people, like, get disappointed when something comes off the menu, or, like, it's just selling really well and people really like it. So I'm fairly locked in to my current menus because everybody, like, is really into each of the things that are already on there. So I'm hesitant to change things now. And it's similar with the beer list. Like, I went through that phase of learning all the craft brewers and learning all the styles and trying to change up the offerings all the time. But at the end of the day, like, if enough people are going to gravitate to a thing that they're just selling a lot of
keep it,
I just think so.
Let's chat about the neighborhood. Do you live in Ukrainian Village? Do you feel at home in Ukrainian Village, even if you don't live here? What do you like about it?
Of course I live here. They keep me in a box.
True.
It's the neighborhood's interesting. I mean, I love it. Always have. But it changes. Its personality changes every maybe 7 years or so. This has to be like the third or fourth invasion of this neighborhood that I've lived in. Because, the city's changed. They're growing, they're growing. So it's just a different neighborhood now than it was, back when I was a kid.
Yeah. Tell me a little bit about your staff here.
So my current crew, like, most of them, we hired one person, some point towards, the end of COVID. And it's one guy, and he's doing great. And then, people were moving on with their lives. We had to hire more people. And it wound up being one of his friends, another one of his friends, another one of his friends. Yeah, so Max and Will and CJ are my triangle trifecta. And then we've got a couple of people. There's Taylor works here. She works at a gallery of two. We've got a bookstore. And we've got Maddie. And she's working on her higher education right now. Everybody's doing well.
Okay, so I know you can bring in your own food here. Have you ever seen anything ridiculous brought in here to eat?
When somebody walks in and it's a birthday and they have a whole cake, and they didn't think to bring a fork.
Oh, gosh.
I don't have a fork.
Uh-huh.
So, have fun with that.
What are you going to do? Cool. Any trends in the bar industry that you don't like or that you wish would go away?
I think I would answer the opposite question.
Mm-hmm. You want a new trend?
One trend that I do like that has gone away is this idea that your bartender is a free therapist. I like that trend has died. Like, I'm not a trained therapist. I'm not your mom. I'm not your girlfriend. You know, that is not my job. My life and the lives of everybody else has gotten significantly better when people stop treating
trauma dumping.
Like, yeah, trauma dumping, yeah. Or treating your bartender as free therapy. Like, we have plenty of other things that we're trying to do here. We're all trying to have a good time and go pay somebody else for that service.
Yeah. So, okay, like, that's good to hear.
You know, I like the idea that I don't see that as often anymore. And it's mostly just people trying to be friendly, have a good time, meet people, make friends. If you're new, I have the secrets for you. I can tell you how to make friends. Okay, you just moved to the neighborhood, right? You don't know anybody. I'm going to give you two options. Either go sign up for pool, and you're going to make friends, or sit at one of those high tops and bring your favorite book. Nobody is going to give you the privacy and quiet to read your book. Everybody's like, what are you reading? Tell me about it. I want to know more. You're going to make friends.
Yeah.
Like, that's the best way to make friends, or just read a book.
Yeah. Have you been seeing more reading at bars, especially this one?
I see people try.
Try. I know. It's hard to read. It's too distracting to be at a bar and read. I'm sorry.
I think it's great. Like, yeah. The only other bar I go to is up in Ravenswood, right by my gym, because I'll get out of class. I want to go up there, drink my whiskey, and read my weird esoteric 16th century.
I saw the book, and it is weird. It's from another another era.
But, like, don't leave me alone there. I can actually do my research. If I try to do that here, I just can't. If people are constantly walking up asking what it's about, I'm like, that's cool, but if I actually want to read, I can't do that.
Yeah.
If I want to strike up a conversation, I would pull out a book here, because that's going to start the conversation.
Interesting. Okay. When I'm reading, leave me alone. Just want everyone to know that. All right. Has anyone told you kind of laugh like Seth Rogen? Never mind. Okay. So aside from Chicago, what city do you think has the best bar scene?
You can find the right place. You know, I got a once-a-year pilgrimage to Gracie, Wisconsin, and it doesn't take us longer than an hour to find the right spot. You know, like,
yeah.
We're not going to the fancy spot, we're not going to the popular spot, we're going to this place where clearly the people who just live within a couple of blocks go here, and it takes us about 20 minutes before the bartender warms up to us, and now we're just all kind of having fun. It's great.
Oh, that's awesome.
And you can find that anywhere. You just gotta, don't look for the brightest lights. Look for something a little bit more recessed that looks like, you know,
it's been there a while.
Yeah.
And it's, yeah. No frills. Yeah. All right, let's do the rapid fire. You ready? Okay. It's going to be quick little questions. They're pretty dumb. Are you ready for some dumb questions?
I mean,
have these already been dumb? Okay. All right, pool or darts?
I don't play pool and I don't go in water. My last name is Pool and I have childhood trauma from the jokes.
Okay, no pool. So darts is the answer. Do you have a favorite Chicago restaurant or bar? It can be closed already.
I would say, it's a little weird, but Via Carducci is an Italian place. You walk out our front door and just look straight. Those lights is a tiny little Italian restaurant that does fantastic food.
Okay.
Great pizza, great pasta, steak in person. Love it.
That's good to know. I love Italian. Favorite day to work behind the bar?
Well, depends on my mood. I do like my Wednesdays because they're a lot more chill.
Yeah.
And we're just kind of hanging out and putzing around doing work and stuff. And I can actually talk to people. But there's a certain thrill in weekend kind of volume sort of thing. Like, I don't know if you know any cooks work in kitchens, but like when you are in the weeds and you're just like dialing in and going, there's something pretty cool about that.
Yeah. Okay, cool. Most popular drink, we kind of went over that. Is there the most frequently ordered drink here?
I think my top three, and they're all unique and depends on the day, but my old fashioned is put a lot of work into that with a lot of time. I've never had anybody disappoint my old fashioned. Everybody's like, wow, this is great.
Okay.
That's pretty standard.
Yeah.
Beyond that, my Blackberry Smash with a mezcal base.
Wow.
I make my own kind of manure. So that's pretty popular. And my espresso martini does not have vodka. It is a complicated recipe that I make ahead of time. I put in the hours, you know, and then it's just like I have it on tap.
You have it on tap?
Yeah. Right. So I pour it, I shake it violently, and garnish it. And it's, you know, so it's pretty easy at point of service to do quickly.
Yeah.
But it does take a lot of work ahead of time, you know, before we have it set up.
Okay.
But yeah, it's pretty great. My proudest moment is somebody apparently came in here, some bartender from somewhere, came in here, had that espresso martini, and was immediately angered because it was better than theirs.
Oh, man.
And then they went back to their bar and tried to recreate it. And I'm like, just talk to me. I'll give you the recipe. I don't care.
Really? That's awesome. Hey, good job. I'm going to have to come back when I'm drinking again. I love a good espresso martini. What's the alcohol in it?
Well, so I make a functionally a cold brew. But instead of water, I use bourbon, and there's also brandy in it. Give it a little bit of velvety smoothness, a little sweetness. And let's see, this. Great. Oh, and there's some Averna, Italian Amaro in there, and Lully bitters.
Okay.
And like a couple other things that are not alcohol, but.
Ooh, that sounds tasty and different too. Every dive bar should have what?
A chessboard.
Do you have one?
Of course
I do. I have told myself every year I want to learn how to play chess, and guess who doesn't know how to play chess? I still don't know. Do you know how to play?
Yeah, I hadn't played in like 15 years. I wasn't very good, but I knew how. And one day, maybe 6 months ago, YouTube decided that I should watch videos of
YouTube
chess. And I'm like, okay, algorithm, let's do it. And I kind of got back into it. And so we took the chessboard out of retirement. And I found out most of my staff actually plays and plays really well.
Wow.
And I'm like, cool.
Smart staff. Chess is not an easy game. I think that's fantastic. And I haven't heard that answer. So we'll add it to the list of what every dive bar needs. One item you can't live without behind the bar.
My favorite baby toy is my
bottle opener.
But for the sake of my cocktails, technically, the only thing I absolutely need is to find my strainer. Because once I shake the hell out of something, it
breaks
the ice.
What's it called?
It's a fine mesh strainer.
Fine mesh strainer, right.
And I shake the hell out of something, you get these tiny little ice shards that is going to kind of mess with the texture in your mouth. So I want to be able to kind of get that out of there and then pour the product over a brandy recipe.
Okay.
So that's pretty important for me. Also, my super duper sharp 10-inch chef's knife.
Oh yeah, you gotta have that. You're cutting a lot of citrus.
Mm-hmm.
Lots of fresh citrus. Because
you definitely see knives this big.
Whoa, that's scary.
<at the most. laughs>
Yeah, you definitely need that. They have to be sharp too.
Okay, rule number one of the Intertown Pub: don't throw things over my bar.
Don't what?
Don't throw things over the bar.
Yeah.
Rule number two: no helping.
No helping. Don't ever go behind the bar. You got this.
No, I mean, just no helping. People try to help all the time. And I'm like, okay, you broke your glass. I get that.
Mm.
For insurance reasons, could you not take your bare fingers and try to pick up
broken
glass?
That's totally me.
Don't help. You know, that's about it.
Okay.
And don't yell my name on the bar, because I'm probably paying attention to somebody else. And that's inconsiderate to the person that I'm talking to.
Okay.
And that's why I don't tell people my name.
just the people who interview you for a podcast.
Just you. You're the one who gets stuck.
Do you have a favorite 2024 memory at the bar? This is the sentimental question.
Okay, forget sentimental. I told you I don't play pool, right?
Right.
So the kids got me to play pool one time after hours. On one condition. So Will wanted to play me. I'm like, cool, here's the rule. I wear your glasses. And he's got like Coke bottle glasses.
Yeah.
He's like, I can't see without my glasses. And I'm like, I can't see with them.
Yeah,
and
I see.
That's why
even
it's
the playing
be fun.
Field. Okay.
So we had a pretty fun night.
Who ended up winning?
I don't even
Did
remember.
You guys even get anything
look,
in?
We have that kind of fun, everybody wins.
Yeah, I like that idea. That's really fun. You're a clever guy. How about, do you have a life motto or a quote, words to live by?
Mm. I don't know. I mean, nothing that I made up. Sometimes I teach some martial arts stuff, right? And one of the things I'm being tasked to do is to come up with a coat of arms for myself. And I've decided that my sigil is a jellyfish.
Your sigil?
Uh-huh.
What's a sigil?
It's like, you know, what's the symbol that you put on your
shield? Oh, okay, okay, yeah.
Your family crest, as it were.
Gotcha.
My actual family crest has a merman, and I'm like, no, we're not doing that.
That's awesome.
So I have jellyfish because, you know, what's Bruce Lee say? You like water. Nothing's more like water than a jellyfish. You know, float like a butterfly. I got that. Sting like a bee. Yep, we do that too.
I like that.
So, yeah, you know, be a jellyfish.
Okay, be a jellyfish. Float like water. All right, that was the final one of Rapid Fire. I'd say you did really well with that. It's never actually rapid. Yeah, if you won, the podcast is over. All right. Well, thank you so much for having me in your bar. It's kind of cleared out here. Did I turn everyone off with my laptop?
No, that's me. I did that.
Well, thanks for having me, Brandon. Tell everyone where you can visit Innertown Pub.
Oh, Innertown Pub is at 1935 West Thomas, or you can use Google Maps like a normal person and figure it out.
Hey guys, so there's no Euler's Corner this week. Bob will be back next week, but I thought I would take this time to count down the top five NA beers. It is January. I am participating in Dry January. This is the third year I'm doing this. And every year I notice there are more and more NA alcohol-free options. So loving that. I've been able to try some new NA beers this month. And I wanted to share the ones that I've enjoyed. So let's get to the countdown. Kicking it off with number five, it's Coors Edge. This is Coors Light's version. This is their NA option, and it's called Edge. And that's really all I have to say about it. Honestly, I like that they have an NA option. I think most of those bigger distributors do now, but I like the name Edge. I think it's hilarious to drink something called Edge. The taste, I don't really have any strong feelings about the taste of it. That's why it's number five. Number four is Stella NA. Now, this one is actually 0%. There's absolutely no alcohol in this. So buy it for your kids if they're interested in trying a beer. No, but it's 0%. I got it the other night at an Italian restaurant. I was really hoping they would have Peroni's NA beer, but they did not. So I settled for a Stella, and it was all right. And that's number four. Number three is Visitor Lager. This is the beer I enjoyed at Innertown Pub while talking to Brandon. This is a smaller, newer company, I guess you would call it, brand. Of beer, of NA beer, and they have two different styles. This is their original lager. It's crisp, it's clean, it's subtle, easy to drink, and I like their branding. I like their packaging. And number two, this is a tough one for the number two in the number one spot, but I had to give number two to Guinness NA. I love a Guinness, and Guinness NA is pretty comparable to the original Guinness Draught. And it's got comparable flavor. It's got the same creamy head, the rich dark color and the velvety texture. It's all there. So I love it. And finally, the number one spot, my favorite NA beer, goes to Athletic Brewing IPA. And others agree. It's actually won over 20 awards. That's pretty cool. And I mean, it shows in the taste of it. It's really good. You can't even tell it's non-alcoholic. So when I drink it, I'm like, why don't I feel buzzed? Because it's non-alcoholic, but it's really that good. It's a pretty light IPA, and I think it was one of their original styles that they released, and it's tried and true. It's very good, but they have a bunch of different types now. I think I tried their Mexican copper. Nah, it doesn't hold a candle to the IPA. I think it's called, what is the IPA called? Shoot, I should know this. Run Wild. But yeah, definitely check it out. They're all over in all the stores, so you won't have any trouble finding them. And they're in most bars that I've been to lately. And that's going to do it for me. Thanks for listening. And happy dry January.
Hey, thanks for listening to today's episode. Special thanks to Dan Muller for the music. Follow us on Instagram at Deep Dive Shy for updates and behind-the-scenes content. Thanks for listening to Deep Dive, where it's always a good pour, tall, short, and even malort.